His glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai, not to mention his executive producer, creative head, content and human resources manager, and of course his supreme director. Aren't we also lucky to have a boss who is also Tat or that sacred source from which the entire creation emerges? The pure power that sustains it, and that final goal to which we are all headed. To that supreme force, source, resource, call it what you like, for us, that or that has a name. And therefore, with deep love and gratitude, we bow to Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Sai Ram, dear listeners, good morning and welcome to Morning Glory. My name is Karuna and I thank you for your company on this fine Thursday morning, May the 17th, 2018, when an army of golden girls is gushing with excitement over their upcoming big day on Saturday, July the 21st, 2018. Right now, as we speak, I'm coming to you live from the Radio Sai Studios here in Prashanthi Nilayam in Andhra Pradesh, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The current time in the studio is 37 minutes past 9 a.m. and I logged in early for a purpose because I have a lot of content and I don't want to spill beyond 11 a.m. more than need be because then I will mess up my colleague Raghu's program. So I thought I'll just cash in on the early login. Current weather conditions in Puttaparthi are seasonal. By seasonal, I mean Puttaparthi is hot, at least right now, but it's home and it's our loving and divine home for all seasons and for all reasons. That is why God incarnate's golden girls are planning their trip home in July. By the way, the weather in July is just lovely. It won't be hot then. It'll be extremely pleasant. Speaking of the current warm weather, we are hoping that we will have a generous monsoon fairly soon. And if the universe is listening to Morning Glory, which it should, this is a request to you, dear monsoon. Please do come soon. Temperatures in the Divine Valley. Maximum 39 degrees Celsius or about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Overnight lows 26 Celsius, about 80 in Fahrenheit. We have had some measly and sporadic rains and several rainless thunderstorms, but overall, Mr. Golden Sun is nearly capable of replenishing our annual vitamin D requirements in, let's say, just a few minutes, because he's shining with all his glory. But that doesn't change anything for us. With our bright smiles, dark sunglasses, cool cotton clothes, and our tanned skins, we continue to participate wholeheartedly in the great Indian summer. Come summer, spring, fall, or winter, Prashanthi is the one place on the planet where millions of us feel at home, because this is where the mind is at ease, the soul in sync with the source, and the heart. Well, what to speak of the heart, for it is always at home in Prashanthi Nilayam. Dear sisters and brothers, I'm super excited to serve you a mega dose of inspiration, nostalgia, and divine love on Morning Glory today. First, I'm throwing a 9-week challenge to all our listeners, no exceptions. In exactly 9 weeks from now, daughters of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the women alumni of his university located at Anantapur, will converge in the Divine Valley to celebrate and rejoice in the Golden Jubilee celebrations of their alma mater. Yes, you heard it right. Hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee. is the mantra, the passcode to this historic and momentous event that marks the 50 years of the silent revolution by the Purna Avatar to reform India's education and value system. Hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee is creating quite a buzz on social media, and we will hear from 9 different voices from different parts of the world why it is. Today, I have also lined up a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments for you with yet another outstanding alumna of the Sai University. I'm excited to bring you part one of my interview with Sai student Ms. Pallavi Vedantam from the United States of America. This will be followed by the conclusion of the Tryst with Divinity with Sri Arun Panda. Today, we will hear the final part. First, let's listen to the golden voices of Baba's golden girls from around the world. Please share your thoughts on this upcoming event, homecoming, using the hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee. ATP stands for Anantapur. It's all one word. Hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee. Have a listen to the golden voices, please.
Loving Sai Ram to all of you on this wonderful day. I'm Rukmini Sivarajan from Boston, USA. In the year 1998, I graduated from Anantapur with a bachelor's degree in physics. Our dearest Mother Sai has made sure that I'm aware of his presence in my life every moment, so many miles away from home. It is a blessing to be a part of this 50-year-old legacy, and I'm truly grateful to Bhagwan for everything. I'd like to share how I feel through a bhajan. Who can still the stirring of a soul that longs for something more? Only you, my gentle Baba, only you, my Lord. Who replies to the voice I hear inside that cries out, who am I? Only you, all-knowing Baba, only you, Satya Sai. All my life I've spent in searching, reaching for a star. My journey ends where I began it, here within my heart. I'm looking forward to being at Prashanthi Nilayam, where our heart is, for the Golden Jubilee celebration of the Anantapur campus. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. This is Anuradha Venkateshwaran from Atlanta, Georgia, United States, Bachelor of Science, Class of 1995, Shri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anantapur Campus. It is a matter of great pride and honor to have the privilege of being called a Sai student. It is with a heart filled with gratitude that I express my joy in observing the Golden Jubilee celebrations of my beloved alma mater. When we are with Bhagwan, every day is a festival and every moment becomes holy. To me, the Golden Jubilee celebrations of Anantapur campus is a reminder from Bhagwan of the huge responsibility that lies ahead of his women students in carrying his legacy forward. I pray that our Divine Chancellor enables us to seize this golden opportunity to recommit ourselves to his noble vision of Loka Kalyanam. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, I am Sharmila Senka, currently living in the United States. I had completed my bachelor's and master's at Anantapur campus from 1991 to 96. When I first heard about our Golden Jubilee of Anantapur, tears rolled down my cheeks with happiness. The life I lived at Anantapur in Swami's fold was golden. All those beautiful memories are still flashing in my mind, as vivid as when I first experienced it. I still remember how our day kick-started in a divine way with chantings of Omkaram and Suprabhatam. The way we mended our body with morning yogasanas. The way we began our day at the university with a prayer in the auditorium. The way we cheered each other on during the sports. The way we sang evening bhajans in one voice, yearning for Swami's presence. All this played a big part in the way I am today. I still remember Jema Ma'am's experience sharing and how she fed us morsels of rice with lots of love. The day peacefully ended with a night prayer and we finally drifted off to sleep. It's indeed a fortune to have this opportunity to attend this Golden Jubilee and meet my Sai family once again and relive those beautiful moments. Golden Jubilee of Anandpur means a lot to me and I couldn't ask for more. I still raise my head with the pride of being Swami's students, no matter where I am. With His divine grace and with His divine will, I hope to be at Bharti for the Anandpur Golden Jubilee on July 21st and 22nd of 2018. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. My name is Padmaja. Currently, I am residing at Tirupati, Andhra Pradesh. I completed my BSc Honours in Physics at Anandpur during the period 1997 to 2000. I am very excited to be a part of Golden Jubilee celebration this year. It feels like we are going to celebrate a grand festival at our home. It reminds us of the valuable education related to both bookish knowledge and lessons of life imparted to us as in Gurukul system of ancient times. I hope to be there at Bharti for the Anandpur Golden Jubilee on July 21st and 22nd. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, brothers and sisters. This is Manju Rajagopal from Adelaide, Australia. I am a blessed student who graduated from Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anandpur campus in 1995 with a degree in Bachelor of Commerce. I take this moment to be a very blessed opportunity to take part in the Golden Jubilee celebrations of our college in 2018. I cannot thank our beloved Swami, as I always refer him with due respect and love, for the life-changing opportunity which is still by far the best part of my youth and my life, which can be cherished in the years that went by and in future to unfold. It all started the day I got my admission in the girls' college at Anandpur. Through that, Swami gave me something far greater, the chance to be with Him throughout life. I treasure the moments while at hostel and after because it taught me life skills which in an ordinary situation is taught to a girl by family members. But for me, it was even better because everything was planned by our beloved master as he orchestrated my daily well-being and made me an instrument in the process with his sweet love and motherly care and compassion. My loving pranams to all, and hope I can spread the love and light which Swami entrusted on each one of us. With humbleness I pray we stay blessed as instruments of beloved Lord Sri Satya Sai Bhagwan Baba. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. My loving prayers to dear Swami. I am known as Kirti Piratla after marriage, but Kirti Kapaganti when was an Anandpur student. I did BA in Anandpur from 2004 to 2007. I realize now that it has been 11 years since I passed out of Anandpur campus, but the memories are still fresh. The first darshan of Swami as Anandpur student was memorable. That was the seed for me. From then I knew I belonged to His home, to this home called Puttaparthi. For the question, to whom do I belong to, arises the answer without any delay to Swami. A celebration in our home. I and we, students of Anandpur campus, feel it our celebration. Want to make it grand, feel good, take responsibility and enjoy it. I know Swami, you will be waiting for us to come to your abode and we will be there for sure to celebrate together the success of 50 years of Anandpur campus on July 21st, 2018.
Om Shri Sai Ram. This is Saujanya Podi of MA English 1994-96 in Anandpur campus. I would certainly be there on July 21st and 22nd in Prashant Nilayam, because I firmly believe that whatever I am today is because of the grace and love of our Divine Lord. Whatever success which we have achieved in our professional and personal lives, it is by the divine grace which has flown in terms of our teachers educating us and the values which Swami tried to inculcate in each one of us and those lovely outgoing interviews in which He had shaped our entire life as a warm mother would give advices to a future daughter-in-law, daughter, and a professional and a mother. Coming back to why I would be there on July 21st and 22nd, it is gratitude. How else can I give back to my Lord, to our dear Bhagwan? Being there is being in His midst, being among the sisters in the global world, which is all strife-ridden, where people are trying to create narrow domestic walls, trying to break up in the name of caste, creed and religion. It's only one Sanatana Dharma, it's only our Sai family which can get all of us together. And it's so exciting to see scores of our girls from 1968 to 2018 all coming congregating together on July 21st and 22nd. While we read the WhatsApp messages, while we exchange mails, and while we have those long telephonic discussions on what to wear, what to do, and how are we going to meet, and what are we going to do to make our Swami happy. End of it, our Lord is happy with every little endeavor, and He loves when all His daughters come back to Him bright with their families and sit there showing their gratitude to Him. I guess all of us owe our lives to our great mother who has made us what we are today. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My name is Sumana Murali. I have received the gift of Satya Sai education from the Anantapur campus between the years 1991 and 1994. My maiden name then was Sumana Ramani. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in English language and literature. As I look back now decades later from the United States, I realize that I not only was provided with a free first-class education, I realized that it was seamlessly interwoven with life skills that are needed to make one a good daughter, a good wife, a good mother, and a good citizen today, thereby contributing to a peaceful world. I was gifted the balancing values of duty, devotion, dedication, discipline, and discrimination to that institution that provides true education as a wholesome, organic and complete package, the one that nurtures the mind and the heart. I'm eternally grateful. As such a hallmark institution, an institution that began with women's education in 1968 celebrates its 50th anniversary, I pray to Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba to be there to support it and enjoy it. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear brothers and sisters, my name is G. Vijaya Rajesh and I completed my graduation in BSc Honours in Physics from the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning from 1991 to 94. I am an active participant of the service and devotional activities of the Brindavan Nagar Sai Samiti in Chennai. I am extremely grateful to Swami for giving me the opportunity to study at His university. I regard those 3 years as the golden years of my life, and they have been instrumental in shaping both my personal and professional life. Even decades after graduating out of the university, the holistic education we were provided with by Swami and the wonderful teachers at the university serves as an invaluable guide in my life. Swami's teachings of faith in God and love for all help me every single day to be as helpful as possible to all those around me. During my student days at Swami's college, I always felt secure and happy that I was under the direct watch and guidance of the most powerful, loving and the living God, our Swami. I gratefully pray to Swami to permit me to attend the Golden Jubilee anniversary celebrations of the Anantapur campus on July 21st and 22nd, 2018 in Prashanti Nilayam. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you just heard 9 daughters of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba sharing their thoughts on the upcoming Anantapur Golden Jubilee celebrations, hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee. I'm throwing this challenge out to our listeners, that is all of you, that whether you are directly, indirectly, remotely or in no way connected to ATP Golden Jubilee, this is my question to you, and I urge you to keep posting on my Facebook page, Karuna Munshi, and email me at karuna@radiosai.org as to what hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee means to you. Because at the end of the day, every Radio Sai listener and every Sai devotee is part of a large Sai family, and this celebration belongs to all of us. This historic moment has to be celebrated in unity and unison by every person who sees the value of the sacrifice that Bhagwan made so silently to revive Sanatan Dharma and to empower women and to reform the post-colonial education system of this country, starting with women. So please keep your mails and posts coming under the hashtag ATP Golden Jubilee. And now, to add further joy to this joyful season, I am pleased to bring you a Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview with yet another outstanding daughter of Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba, an alumna of his university, Miss Pallavi Vedantam. Today I am going to play part one of this interview, and you can catch the conclusion right here, same time, same day next week. And on the other side of this conversation, you can catch the conclusion of the ongoing Tryst with Divinity series with Sri Arun Panda. Over now to Fleeting Moments, part one with Pallavi Vedantam. Please enjoy the rest of the show, dear listeners. And till we meet next Thursday, again on Morning Glory, I wish you a saisam awesome day ahead. Have a listen to Pallavi, please. Om Shri Sai Ram, dear listeners. Welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of interviews with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. My guest today is Dr. Pallavi Vedantam, an alumna of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning, Anandpur campus, from where she completed her master's degree in science, specializing in food science and human nutrition, and also her bachelor's degree in education. Her stay at the Anandpur campus of the Satyasai University was from the year 2001 to 2005. Om Shri Sai Ram, women's band from the Anandpur campus when she was a student. In the United States, she has been associated with the Clemon Anderson Greenville Sai Center and the Boston Sai Center, as well as the Farmington Sai Center. Pallavi has been a speaker at various Sai retreats and centers in the United States. Today, Pallavi Vedantam is here at Radio Sai to tell us about an unconditional friendship that she shares and enjoys with Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba, the Divine Founder Chancellor of her alma mater. On that friendly note, I welcome Pallavi to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories on Radio Sai. Sai Ram, Pallavi, and welcome.
Sai Ram, Karanadi. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. So this is a unique friendship that you enjoy with your Chancellor. Few can say we can go to any Ivy League school, but still not make that claim that we have a deep-seated, ongoing, divine, unconditional friendship with our founding chancellor.
Absolutely agree.
How does yours work?
Mine has a very friendly and very disciplined relationship, so to speak. So, the first time I came to Swami was 1989. My grandmother brought me to Bhagwan, and I remember I had gone for summer vacation to her place. She said, "Let's go check out this guru." And so, having a scientific mind, I said, "Yes, that's interesting. Let's find out what's happening here." So I came here, there was darshan grounds, there was no cycle with hall at that point of time. There were strict instructions, nobody's to touch his feet, Swami's going to come, have darshan, and so on and so forth.
You must have been a teenager then?
Oh, I was in sixth grade.
Oh, okay.
I sold very easy, if I think about it now. So in sixth grade, I wore my most favorite pink frock. I thought it brought good luck to me, it's a lucky charm. I wore my frock, I sat down, we got the first row. My grandmother gave me strict instructions, do not touch his feet. You've been told. And I really adored her and loved her, so I said yes. Swami, I remember, as soon as he entered the darshan ground, he kept looking at me, and he had this look that was intensifying as he came closer and closer and closer, and he has this beautiful, mischievous smile. And I was a very mischievous girl back then, I don't know about now, but as soon as he came, he stood right in front of me and said, "Pad namaskaram tisko, take my pad namaskaram, touch my feet." And so I'm looking at my grandmother with folded palms. What to do next? What's the protocol? So she said, "Why are you looking at me? Swami's asking you to take Pad Namaskaram. Go ahead." So I took 1, 2, 3, 4. And I said, "Enough, enough, enough. Chalo, chalo. How many will you take?" And then he went past. That was my very first interaction. Had beautiful darshan. Nothing much. Didn't think much of it. Went back to the shed. After a couple of days, we went back to our respective hometowns. And I forgot my frock. And that was the cliffhanger of my devotion, I feel now. Because I came back and I thought, man, I need my frock. And I started challenging Bhagwan as a friend. I said, if you're really a guru.
You left the dress in Puttaparthi?
Yes, washed it. My mom has washed it. And she's put it on the drawstring in the shed. And I said, if he's really God, and if he's really my best friend, as he claims as per the literature or the talks or the discourses that, you know, Swami has given. 6 months later, I told my mother, let's go. I feel like seeing Swami. And she's like, what's wrong with you? All of a sudden, out of the blue. I didn't tell her what's cooking up inside me. My frog. I was more worried about the frog than Bhagwan, honestly. So I said, if the frog is still there in the shed, I will never, never question you, ever. And I will implicitly obey you forever. And you're my God. That was my only condition. So I come back. I make a beeline to the shed. Same shed. My frog is there. Hmm. In the same place, untouched.
Must have been a very special frog.
That's a very special frog.
It played a very important role.
Little did the frog know what a role it has played.
Yeah, exactly.
But Swami has his own ways of creating opportunities and situations to bring us closer to him. And I think the frog was very blessed. It had 6 months of stay here with Swami.
And thereafter began your association?
So we came back and we wanted to know more about Swami. Incidentally, the way things worked out, we used to live right behind Sundaram in Chennai. It's about a 10-minute walk. And Swami would come often. So we heard about Swami. We got enrolled into Balvikas classes or SSC classes, as we know, in abroad. And slowly, the interest started growing. And I became more and more involved in the Sai Center activities as a kid. And my parents were very supportive as well. But I have to mention that my father never believed in Bhagwan at that point of time. So it's very interesting. It was like literally like Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada. So you're hearing these stories in the Balvikas class that Prahlada had this great devotion for the Lord. He would smile and he would claim the faith in Lord. And then there was Hiranyakashipu trying to do the exact opposite of his faith. And I would wonder, well, why are we going that back? It's happening now, currently, so to speak. And so I said, this is ideal. This is brilliant. I mean, if I didn't have such resistance from one side, maybe I would have never gone so closer to Swami at all. And so I was able to understand Prahlada's mindset in true sense. And I took it up as a challenge. I said, the avatar has come. The ship is about to sail. I'm going to be on board regardless of what happens. And so I started going to Balvikas, and then slowly I started reading a lot of discourses, I would say so. I read a lot of discourses. I subscribed for Sanatan Sarthi. And reading discourses, I realized Swami is a no-nonsense person. But he is a hopeless businessman, maximum loss, no profit. He's investing in all of us with so much love and so much selflessness. And all that he wanted was just follow any one thing that Swami wants us to do. And so that kind of really brought me closer to him. I said, if there's one thing I can do, just one thing to make him happy, that sounds like a very easy thing to do in paper, but in practice, he definitely gave me many, many experiences where he guided me, he chided me, he molded me, and he instructed me sometimes. But the best part of this relationship was his unconditional friendship. I took him as a friend more than as a god, always. Because I realized early on, Swami said, live in love of God, not fear of God. And that kind of changed my mind. In my mind, when you're growing up in India, especially it's a secular country, from childhood they say, God is watching, be careful, God is watching, don't do this. So I always wondered, God is such a evil character, why is he always punishing you for doing anything and everything as a child? And then you meet Swami, and Swami says, you can do anything you want, as long as you do anything to make me happy, you'll be just fine. And I think that was my turning point in his fold.
But as long as you do something to make him happy, has to be on the path of righteousness and truth. And somehow the unrighteous, the non-truth things seem more appealing when you're a child, as a tween.
Especially as a teenager. Hmm. If I may share a very hilarious experience here.
Please.
So growing up, Swami would come in my dreams a lot. So before I joined Swami's Institute, Swami would come, even now he would come in my dreams and he would tell me or guide me time to time. So I would wear clothes that were not ironed This is, I'm talking about college. He would come in my dream and say, you're wearing clothes without ironed. And I would say, Swami, it's fine. He's like, no. See how I wear my robe crisp and clean? You should iron your clothes. So this is small things. So step by step, he corrected me and my mannerisms and so on and so forth. There's one incident that I can never forget and it's very close to my heart. So I love Krishna and Radha. They are my chosen deities. And so I thought, if Radha is so pretty, man, we should look like Radha, then Krishna's attention always will be towards me. And so I did go to that extent. You know, there's this beautiful picture of Krishna and Radha, where Radha is leaning her head over Krishna's shoulder and there's a peacock sitting and watching and there's a cow in the background. So that was the picture in my bedroom and I would keep watching it. I said, okay, that's it. That's what I need to do to get Swami's attention. So on Krishnashtami day, right before the previous day, I went to the famous Tinagar shopping complex in Chennai. I got myself a half sari, the color that Radha was wearing. I got 4 dozen bangles. I wore 2 dozen one hand, 2 dozen these hand. I went to this Bharatanatyam store. I got his artificial hair. I saw Radha has long hair, so I need to have long hair. And I got all the, you know, embellishments that she wore. I got necklaces. I took out the jewelry on Krishnashtami day, wore them. I was like a walking jewelry store that day. My mom was gagging at me. She said, this is nonsense. Swami sees the heart. I said, yeah, we'll see. So my idea was that on Krishnashtami day, everybody is praying to Swami. But Swami's attention needs to be on me. So if I look anything closer to Radha, he'll forget everyone and only focus on me and my prayers. So during Krishnashtami or any festival, we have a tradition where we take sweets or prasad that we offer to God and we share it with our neighbors. So I'm going to a fellow Sai devotee's house on the two-wheeler. So I've had flowers in my hair, my artificial hair. I've had all the chrysanthemums and, you know, jasmine, my long hair, and I'm having the kunjalam, the attachment down. So I'm bedecked nicely on the road, waiting for the light to turn green, and I'm about to take off. So I'm accelerating, and my vehicle doesn't move. So I'm thinking, oh no, my half sari is stuck, and I'm going to catapult and fall off the bike, and now everybody is going to see this beauty just perish in front of them. That's my primary worry. So I'm checking, everything is fine. I again, you know, accelerate, the vehicle doesn't move. I turn around. So at this point, I'm singing Govinda Madhava at the light. I turn around. There's a cow chomping on the flowers on my artificial hair. So the policeman, I've grown up in this locality, he's almost yelling at Ma, go, it's a green light, go. And my primary worry is the artificial hair is going to come off and everybody is going to know that this is artificial hair. That's my primary worry. So the cow is busy chomping on the bright flowers. So I pulled my hair, gave it to the cow that it caught hold of, and I just sped off. Didn't turn back. So I reached my friend's house. I'm looking like Shakini and Dakini, you know, the Rakshasis in Ramayana. Literally hair open, crying, weeping. My friend was in splits. He said, what is this on Krishnashtami? You have come like a Rakshasi to this house. I said, I don't want to talk about it. I go back home. My mom is laughing, my sister, my whole family is in splits. So I go to bed that day. Swami comes in my dream and he says, how is the cow? So first thing he says, and he's laughing his heart out. And I'm miserably standing in front of him the same form as I was. I was not happy at all. So I said, you sent the cow? I said, you're looking at the picture. Radha is there, Krishna is there. Well, I couldn't manage peacocks, but cow had to be there. It's a complete picture there. It's Krishnashtami that too. It's a blessing. I said, Swami, not fair. Then he looked at me and he said, Bangaru, I said, you know, my dear, you don't need all these embellishments to make me happy. It's all your heart. I just need pure love from your heart, your pure intentions. And that's the day he said, as long as you have good intentions and a pure intention in your heart, Swami will take care of you. And of course, he changed gears immediately. He said, you wake up in the morning, you throw these 4 dozen bangles into the dustbin. I said, Swami, my mom is going to be very unhappy. She has invested in this. There's a lot of money. And he said, no, you wear one bangle. There's only one thought. You know why? So I said, now when Swami is, you know, giving instructions, you just have to listen. So I said, no, Swami. He said, one thought, only of Bhagwan. No noise. You think about everything in the world, too much noise in your head. A single bangle, a single thought will remind you, only one thought of Bhagwan. I said, okay. Then he said, you're wearing payal anklets and you're going to center. Everybody's sitting in a meditative mood and you're going chal, 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 making noise. No spiritual discipline. Take it and throw it. I said, done. I'll take it out. Then he said, why are you making so many bindis? You know those liquid bindis that I decorated my forehead? Is it traffic light on your head? You put one color and one bindi, that's enough. I said, okay, Swami. I said, how many flowers will you put? You don't need to have a fragrant head. Your thought should be fragrant. I said, okay, Bhagwan. So he was going on. I said, how many clothes you'll buy? Silk. Have enough saris. That's enough. I said, okay, Swami. So that was one lesson that the animal kingdom participated in Swami's mission to teach me a good lesson, to have just good intentions to make Swami happy.
And so this friendship that you have with Bhagwan, is it anything like a regular friendship one may have with a person? Because most friendships go through ups and downs. Does yours?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Well, friendship with God is much better than any other friendship, I would say. But one thing to keep in mind is, if you want friendship with Bhagwan, which means you want to say anything to him, you should also be ready to listen to anything from him. It's just not one-way traffic.
Mm-hmm.
It's both ways. And so, in order to have that kind of a mindset that Swami may say anything tomorrow and you should be ready to implicitly follow it, no questions asked. So, just to give you a very small example of that is, I had gone for my PhD to Clemson University and I was doing my microbiology degree. 2008, recession hit, and so happened that my PI called me and he said, we don't have any more funding. You will have to pack your bags and leave. So I thought, this is strange. Swami did tell me before I left to US that I'll take care of you. Don't worry. He came in my dream and said, don't worry. I'll take care of you. You go there, do your doctorate. Come back when I call you. I said, okay. So I'm there. I'm thinking, what kind of friend does this? And so I came home and I have a habit of doing bhajan every day for 30 minutes. I just sing 5 bhajans when I come back from work. It's my own sadhana, simple sadhana that I get time from. So I came home, I packed my bags, I'm looking for tickets. I said, okay, let's do bhajan and then we'll pack our bags. And so during the bhajan, I'm having this conversation with Swami. What kind of friend is this? You're my best friend. All such kinds of thoughts are coming. And I said, maybe he knows what is best. Let's just leave it there. So I sleep that day and Swami comes in my dream that night and he says, why have you packed all your bags? I said, have you known? There's no money in my department, Swami. I cannot finish my degree. And he said, this experience will be useful. Don't worry. Don't go back. You stay, you fight and you finish. Don't quit yet. So I woke up with great zeal. I said, whether anybody is with me or not, Swami is with me. And that's all I needed to know. So I woke up. I went to every department, I went to every PI and I asked everyone, I said, give me 3 months, if I don't do well, I myself will quit. And by Bhagwan's grace, one of the PIs agreed.
What's a PI?
It's a principal investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I got through my program in 3 years because my clock never reset. And so I worked hard, 3 years by Swami's grace, I finished and I graduated by His grace.
With a PhD?
With a PhD.
Mm, very impressive. And you did your postdoctoral work at Harvard?
Yes, I did my postdoctoral at Harvard. That was a very interesting experience, actually. I didn't have a job for about a year. So I finished my graduation, a little flashback to my history here in master's, if I may, to segue into that particular story. Is I finished my master's here, as Swami says, home science. I finished here and March 31st was the last day. I got my luggage. I kept my luggage at home. And I was praying to Swami. I said, give me any job. I'll stay in Parthi. I'll be here. This is home. I don't want to go anywhere. But Swami had different plans. So he came in my dream and he said, you go to Sri Sati Sai Vidya Niketan in Bagipalli. They need a science teacher. I have never heard of this school. I've never heard of the management. No one. So it's so new to me. And I said, okay. And he said, you print your resume and you go there and you go for an interview. Get interviewed and they'll take you. He already gave me the result of the interview. Everything was said and done. And he said, don't tell them I told them that you're going to get the job, but you go for the interview. So I showed up next day morning on April 1st. I thought Swami's playing an April Fool's prank on me.
He gave you these instructions in a dream?
In the dream. Anparthi. when I had just come back from Anantapur, that was the last day. Those days, colleges to close 31st, now it's April 15th, of course. So I went there with no luggage, just my resume, and I met the person, Srinivas Reddy, who's the correspondent of the school. I sat in his office and I said, "Sairam sir, I'm here for the science teacher's position. When is the interview?" So he was shocked. He looked at me and he said, "We have not advertised for a science teacher's position." I said, "Swami sent me and this is the story." And he said, "We have been looking for 6 months for a science teacher and we have not been able to find anybody, and we're praying to Swami to send somebody to teach the children science, physics, chemistry and biology." And so I had come here. I worked for an year. Swami used to come very often. On the way, he used to stop and bless all the kids. It was beautiful times during those days. Then Swami, once when he came, he said all the teachers should do B.Ed. And so that's one of the reasons I went back to Anantapur to get my bachelor's in education. And after a year, Swami came and said, "Finish your Ph.D. in my dream." I said, "Okay." And that's how I left abruptly. So fast forward, I finished my graduation. I am applying for jobs. I don't get jobs. I'm praying to Swami. I said, "Swami, come on, give me a job. I need a job to survive in U.S. It's not that easy." Swami came in my dream one night and I'm telling him, "Bhagwan, I graduated. I'm a doctor." I was so excited. Swami had no excitement. He said, "So?" You know, Swami says educational degrees, what's the big deal? He was exactly that. He said, "So?" So I said, "Okay, Swami's not in a happy mood. So let's just keep it a low profile." So I said, "Swami, I got a degree. So much hard work. Please bless me." He said, "So?" I said, "Swami, I need a job." He said, "I gave you a job. You went away in Bagepalli." And so I realized Swami still was thinking about the fact that I didn't come back after my PhD and sort of, you know, join the place. But I was waiting for further instructions from Bhagwan anyhow. And I said, "Swami, I really need a job. So please bless me with a job." He said, I'll take care. Don't worry." And he disappeared. So I woke up next day morning. I'm praying to Swami again. 3 months go by. 6 months go by. 1 year goes by. Still don't have a job. So about 9 months or so, I said, I stopped doing bhajans after 9 months. I said, "Half an hour, I can fill one application. Why am I wasting my time on 5 bhajans? This is what, you know, your mind does to you. So after 9 months, Swami comes in my dream very randomly and I say, "Swami, I need a job. Please, you have to do this for me." And he says, "Why did you stop doing bhajans?" So Bhagwan really, really pays attention to every small thing that you do for him. You know, even if whatever may come your way. For him, physical hardships are all temporary. For him, the real deal is what you are doing to connect to him ultimately. So I didn't have an answer. So I said, "Swami, you know." That's all I said. "Swami, you know." He said, "I know. Why did you stop doing bhajans? You do bhajans, you'll get a job." So I said, "Now I will not fill any applications. I have filled enough applications. I would fill 30 applications a day all over the world." So I stopped filling applications. I left it to Swami. I said, "Surrender. Whatever you feel best, Swami, please do." So I left it at that. And that was the last job I applied for. And I thought, where? I'm coming from Satya Sai University, Clemson, and then Harvard. Let's see if I get it. It's absolutely Swami's grace that they wanted an environmental microbiologist. And I landed the position because I had a nutrition background. Mm-hmm. And the research was on food science.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at the...
So Satya Sai University to the rescue.
Absolutely.
Mm. That's absolutely a good story to share.
Absolutely. That day I was very proud and very humbled at the same time as an alumna from Anantapur campus.
Now this friendship that you speak of, that you share with Swami, in your current position and given the general social, political environment of the U.S., how is the friendship doing today and what does it do for you?
It's a very good question, Karunadi. I would say that friendship is a bond that is to be maintained on a very regular basis and tempered with a lot of patience and a lot of love. Swami sees us beyond our small mind, so to speak. So I have, this friendship in U.S. currently has a lot of political aspects to it, as you said, because I'm on visa there. I work there for a company that is a charitable organization, which is in sync with the value systems of Swami's organization as well, because it's a charitable hospital. I see kids who are pediatric cancer patients, and I see a lot of philanthropy going on. It's a beautiful place to be. In that respect, it really has given me an appreciation of the character training that this institute has given me in order to gel well with the different departments and people and personal management and so on and so forth. In the personal aspect, of course, I have a lot of fun with Bhagwan. Me and Bhagwan have a very, very, very jovial relationship. I take Bhagwan seriously only when he is serious. Otherwise, I'm always having a lot of fun with Swami. I think that is the first thing that ever impressed me about Bhagwan when I came here. He was so confident that he is the avatar. He had no doubts about it. And he went about telling, yes, I am the avatar, whether you like it or not, believe it or not, here I am, make full use of me. And I liked that a lot. I said, why can't we have that oozing confidence like Swami? Swami is also telling, you are mine and I am yours. So I thought, okay, I want to have that sense of humor like Bhagwan. Always be happy. Why can't I be that person? And so Swami was my role model with regards to always be happy and, you know, have a sense of humor. So I'll tell you a very funny incident, for example. So every Saturday I go for hikes. And so one Saturday I woke up and I thought, I want to go for a hike in a sari. I want to see how bad it is. I love wearing saris. I don't get an opportunity other than the center in the US especially. So I just made a very passing comment to Swami's picture in my house. And I said, I want to wear a sari and go for a hike. I want to see what's going to happen. It was a very childish thought. That night Swami came in my dream and he said, go hiking in sari. He even told me which color sari to wear. I said, okay. So I took out the pink color sari. After the center, I grabbed one of my friends and I went for a hike in the sari. It's a moderate hike of 2.5 hours. We went to the top of the mountain. We sat there. I did some bhajans. We came back. Of course, everybody on the trail was looking as though what is happening here. When I came back home, it was very, very hilarious. I thought, I'm implicit obedience. I'm going to follow whatever you say. That night, Swami came in a dream and said, you're going to trip and fall if you go in the sari. Go in a skirt next time. So I said, okay, Bhagwan, I'll go in a skirt next time. Nobody goes in a skirt also to a hike, right? So I was joking with Swami, you're going to make a fool of myself. People are going to know who this crazy woman is in this hike. So I wore a skirt next time. I went for a hike. I went for an 8-mile hike this time. And I enjoyed the hike, thoroughly enjoyed it. I was singing bhajans. It's like Nagar Sankirtan for me on Saturdays. I look for Swami's presence.
Do you go with the group?
I go by myself.
Oh, I see.
I go alone.
Communion,
yes. Yeah. I leave it around 11. I come back by sunset before the bears come out as bait for me. Mm-hmm. So I come out and that was one of the experiences.
Very adventurous.
Yes. I think that courage comes from Bhagwan. I've seen him conduct himself during darshans or during institute visits. It's amazing that courage that Swami has. He believes in himself. And I think that was the biggest message Swami gave. Believe in yourself. No matter what. Even if you don't believe in him, Swami said, believe in yourself. That's equivalent to believing in God.
So when you say, I'm assuming you believe in yourself, what does that mean to you?
It basically means to me that I believe in Swami. He is in me, and so if I am believing in myself, he is my core existence. And so, I never take no for an answer. I think I've learned that from Bhagwan. No matter what, I chase things with great confidence and great vigor, great patience and great hope. And Swami has always taught us not to give up. Never give up, no matter what happens. And I think that is a very important aspect of faith, especially. It's very easy to get.
What if things are not meant to be?
If things are not meant to be, then you should also have the maturity to accept what he gives you.
So when do you know when to give up?
Oh, Swami will teach you a lesson, definitely when to give up. I have had instances where I have, for example, I wanted to do master's in biochemistry. I joined Rani Durgavati University in Jabalpur. So after I finished my bachelor's, Swami came in my dream and he said, you go outside and study. I said, okay, Swami is hinting me, maybe I should go to Anantapur and I should join for masters in Anantapur. It so happened that the bachelor's final exams, entrance exams and the final exam here clashed. And so there were about 30, 40 kids, I remember, who had come from Chennai, had gone to the ad block to request them to change the dates. And I was one of them. I remember talking to the registrar then and saying in 2000 summer, who fixes the dates for the entrance exams? He said, Swami fixes the dates, Amma. Why don't you go take it up with him? And so I realized, okay, this war is lost already. I may pray for it. So I prayed to Swami. They didn't change the dates for sure. And so my parents were getting restless. Like, oh, she's going to waste 1 year. So I didn't want to waste an year. Swami said, go outside. Outside can be anywhere. So randomly, my mother finds this ad in the newspaper from Rani Durgavati University, Jabalpur, Madhya Pradesh, for Masters for Biochemistry. And that was August by then. No other colleges were taking admission. I didn't want to waste time. So I applied for it. I went there. I remember going there on a hot, sultry day. It was August 18th. And there was a strike going on. All the union members were standing outside. There was police. There was tear gas. There was a lot of chaotic environment. So I didn't want to study there. I said, Swami, how will you study here? And I went past that. I walked into the corridor. You know, in North, everybody likes to eat paan. So no offense if paan painted all over the walls there. So that was my second put off. I said, I cannot study here. It's not clean enough. And I have this OCD for cleanliness. I said, this is not a good place. Then the third thing, so I'm walking and I'm singing Nandishwara. And I see, you won't believe, a buffalo walking across me. And I knew it was Swami written all over this place. It is impossible that in an educational institution, in an entrance exam corridor, there is a buffalo walking towards you. Humanly impossible. So I was rubbing my eyes. I was like, what is happening in my life? I was wondering. So I went for the entrance exam. And I decided I'm going to mark negative answers just enough to tip the scale and fail the entrance and never come here. Not that anybody should do that. Note to self. But that was my thought at that point of time. Plus, I was going to be so far away from Bhagwan. So I marked all wrong answers, just enough. I left the examination within 45 minutes. It was for 3 hours. I came back. My mom said, you're done? I said, yeah, it's done. You know, Swami's everything. Swami's written the exam. Why should we worry? And I'm telling her all this. I'm giving her gyan instead. And she said, okay, we'll see what happens. After 10 days, I get my results and I pass the exam. It's impossible that I cleared this exam with so many incorrect answers. So I came back and I threw a curveball at my mom. I said, only if Swami blesses me, I will go. So now I left it to Bhagwan. And she said, okay, you book a ticket and you go to Parthi. You get his permission and you come. But you will not go to Puttaparthi without booking a ticket. So I said, done. So I came here. August 27th, I remember I was sitting outside, you know, next to PC where the lines formed when Swami used to stay in Punachandra. 4:30 in the morning, I'm sitting there in the lines and I fell asleep there. I dozed off and Swami came in my dream right then and there. He's standing in front of Rani Durgavati University. And he has one hand on his hip and he's having this handkerchief. He's wiping his sweat because it's hot that day. He's replaying the whole scene as is the strike going on. Everything is same. Nothing has changed. And he tells me in Telugu, hey Itra, he said, hey, come here. So I go running and he says, what's wrong with this university? He said, Swami, people are fighting. Who studies here? I cannot study here. What else is wrong? And then he said, in Hindi, or kya? He said, Swami, paan everywhere. How can you study, Swami? He said, what else is the problem with this university? At this point, I gave up. I said, Swami, buffaloes are walking across. I don't want to study in a zoo. I want a very peaceful, calm environment to study. Swami became very serious and he said, atmosphere is important or the goal of going there and acquiring knowledge is important. So you go. I said, Swami, please, I really don't want to go. I really don't want to go. There's nothing doing, you go. And the dream ended there. I woke up. I got first row that day. I remember Anandpur was not there and so the public was sitting there on the side. I got the first row and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh, this is just not right. I need to find a way out. So, you know, you put conditions to Bhagwan. Maybe I was hallucinating. Maybe it was not true. Let me throw one more curveball. I remember his evening darshan. I was telling Swami, I'm just going to go. I'm done. And I was praying to Swami, if this, in the evening bhajan, if this bhajan or this song comes up right now at this point of time, it's a clear indication that you want me to go. So I remember there's a second bhajan or a third bhajan going on. Abruptly, bhajan stopped and the song started. The Kavali, Sahibina Rahana Jai. That was my condition. I had Sai Ganga Water Project now flowing through my eyes continuously. I was like, this is so clear indication that Swami wants me to go. Bhajan got over. Swami came. He walked straight up to me. And he did. He raised his eyes, indicating what? I don't know what came over me, Karunadi. I said, Swami, I'm leaving tomorrow to Rani Durgavati University. And he was so happy. He said, Chala Santosha, very happy. Bangaru, Bangaru, he said twice. He blessed me and he walked away. By the time I realized I wanted to retract my statement, it was too late. Swami was gone. So I studied one semester with great difficulty there. Couldn't stay without Swami. And I came back. I came back and joined Anantapur in 2001. That is one of the examples, as you said.
When you look back in hindsight, what do you see as being the lesson there, or what did that experience meant to do?
So I did have a very interesting conversation with all the seniors there. So the interesting part that I didn't mention is, so you know, every college has a freshers, a function where they have all the... Yeah. Freshmen who come through and then they sit and introduce them, and we have cultural programs as like a welcoming thing. So I remember everybody kept asking me, why do you wear the salwar kameez and why do you wear the dupatta wrapped around? You know, it is only meant for the neck. It's not meant for covering yourself. And so I would talk to the girls there. I would talk to the guys there. And for the freshman party, I remember I had about 30 or 40 seniors sitting around me, and it's so-called ragging session that they do at the very end of the function. And they said, you seem to be a very religious or a spiritual person. You don't talk much. Who do you follow? So I said, I follow Bhagwan Shri Sathya Sai Baba. Said, how do you know he is God? So I said, I know he is God. I'm convinced he is God. Then they said, what is the proof that there is God? So I was giving the simple examples like Bhagwan gives the sun and the sun rays, the moon and the moonlight. Then they say, how do we not feel the same? So I was giving them the example of Bhagwan when he says, you have to churn the buttermilk to get the butter out. So if you churn your heart and instill the values that churn yourself, and only then the goodness will come out. It was exactly like a question-answer session of all the things that I have learned in Balvikas with these people for 1 hour straight. I told them Chinnakatha stories. I told them experiences about Bhagwan and devotees who had come here, the little experiences that I knew at the time, the stories that Swami had narrated, you know, in during Krishnashtami or Ganesh Chaturthi in Sanatana Sarathis that I have read. So I shared for 1 hour straight, and was they were dumbfounded that there could be somebody who is still an avatar and you can go meet. So the last question they actually asked me is, Sai Baba have a phone number? So I remember telling them, no, but if you call him now, he will come. From bottom of your heart, he will appear wherever you are. They took the address of Prashantanilayam. They wanted to come visit Bhagwan. They wanted to see the ashram. I had told them about the hospital and the humongous educare and the, you know, hospital work that Swami is doing, Medicare work that Swami is doing. They're very interested and genuinely interested in knowing about Swami. So I thought my job there was done, and I missed Bhagwan a lot. I couldn't stay physically away from him. That's the reason I came back.
So for the a total of 3 years that you spent at Anantapur, doing your master's and then your bachelor of education, there must have been times when you were able to interact with Swami.
Oh, absolutely.
What are your fondest memories, some of the highlights?
Definitely. So I think the fondest highlight was, the first memory is October 12th, 2001. We formed the first Anantapur band. I remember walking into the library and they were picking girls to be a part of the Nadaswaram band who had a little bit of a music knowledge. And so I've learned for a couple of years, I'm not a trained singer or anything. So that's how I got roped into the band. And we were day and night practicing. We had teachers, we had lovely teachers from Anantapur city who would come. Both of the sirs would come, and day and night we were practicing. We didn't come for Gram Seva. I remember we missed Darshan the first time I joined as a student was in 2001, and I was excited to do Gram Seva, and we were told the entire campus is going to Parthi and we are going to stay here and practice. So that kind of broke my heart. I said, Swami, I want to be there with you, next to you, and watch you and have darshan, you know, the excitement of being a new student in Swami's institute. Anyhow, we practiced day and night. We came here October 12th, 2001 evening darshan. After bhajans, we were seated right next to Swami's interview room, you know, where Muni Aunty sits. And we had all her instruments, the Nadaswaram and Tavil, the instrument, percussion instrument. Swami came out, pin drop silence. Bhajans had just got over. Everybody was just silently seeing what Swami is about to do. So he had this proud moment as a mother. He was surprised. He was so surprised. He just popped his eyes and he gave a beautiful smile and he said, "What are you doing? What is this?" he asked. Even before we could answer, he said, "You're going to play?" Said, "Yes, Swami, we're going to play. We need your blessings." And I said, "Yes, yes, very, 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 very happy. Definitely, definitely." And he touched all the instruments. That was my first interaction with Swami. And so when we were seated there, I remember we had borrowed summer course saris, 2000 summer course saris from girls. So we didn't have a uniform, so to speak, and we wanted to have a uniform like the band girls. So we were borrowed and I was wearing one of the saris that was borrowed from another sister who had lovingly given it to me. Swami asked, "Nene Chana?" So he looked at me and said, "Did I give you the sari?" So in my mind, yes, he has given the sari, but not to me, but to somebody, right? So I said, "Yes, Swami, Nirechara." I said, "You have given it." Then he said, "Ayyo, papam, ledu, ledu, ledu." He nodded his head saying, "No, dear, no, I didn't give, I didn't give, I didn't give." And he told the hospital staff in a very funny manner and he walked away. And I didn't think much of it. That ended there. So we played that evening inside on the veranda. And we got multiple opportunities. So fast forward Mahila's Day. We were there till Mahila's Day. It was Puja holidays. November 18th afternoon, I remember it was around 3 o'clock. We were practicing Bhagyata Lakshmi Barama, which means the goddess who gives life and future. Lakshmi, please come and bless us. So you're practicing that song. This is back at the Seva Darshan, at the back gate of the ashram. So that, you know, the noise doesn't get anybody and disturb anybody. 3 p.m. sharp, I was thinking, Swami, you're in darshan. I can hear the darshan music. And here I am playing Bhagyata Lakshmi Barama and you are coming there whilst we are playing here. All of a sudden, Karunadi, I see the maroon color car pull in and Sevadals are running. And Swami drove up to us, stopped the car, rolled his window down, and he had this beautiful, proud smile as a father, as though we made him proud. He was so happy. He was there a couple of seconds and he was putting talam, you know. He was putting talam and he played the whole song. He heard the whole song. And of course, he took off from the gate and he came back for darshan. That was one amazing experience that I was just feeling bad that I wanted to be there and Swami, we're missing you, came around. So that night, it's very interesting, you know, Swami sometimes is very playful in giving instructions and when he means something. So he came that night in my dream and I'm in the dorm here in Anantapur dorm. He said, "Tomorrow morning is Ladies' Day. All of you are going to play for Ladies' Day." Said, "Yes, Swami." "You know, Vani Jayaraman is going to be there. All the great singers are going to be there. Musicians are going to be there. You please make sure you play properly." So I said, "Swami, are you informing me or frightening me? What is happening here? Swami, what are you doing? Are you trying to help us or giving us instructions? You're literally frightening me, Bhagwan." He said, "No, no, no. I just want you to know that all the great musicians are there. So make sure you don't make any mistakes because it will reflect on me ultimately." And so as a result of that, I said, "Okay, Bhagwan." And so he also went on to say, "You wake up and you tell all the other girls also." Now, all the other girls till now were very confident that we're going to do very well during the procession when we bring Bhagwan into Sai Kulwant Hall. And we were all pepped up about it. Now, after this dream, all the girls were, "I don't know what is going to happen. Swami has made this comment." I said, "No, Swami is just being playful, but, you know, he is trying to be encouraging in a very playful manner." It was very nice. I woke up and told them, "Please make sure everybody's reads are doing good and, you know, play very well." They were very happy that Swami was paying attention to every small thing. We came to the procession and we stood there. And Swami came and he walked by us. He looked at each one of us very beautifully, very, very beautifully. Gave a wonderful smile. It was a very proud moment to make Swami proud. You do things in life to make people happy, but when you make God happy, it's a whole nother dimension of happiness that I cannot describe, unfortunately. Only it has to be felt in the heart, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the experiences we had.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Once Swami was just coming out of the interview room, Mr. Anil Kumar is sitting there. He said, "Anil, you get that book." Then Anil Kumar suddenly told the one student, "Hey, you get that book." Then Swami told, "Can't you get that book? I just wanted to wipe out the sin of your one life by doing this service only." So you don't understand when you do seva, that how much Swami used to say, that when you come for seva, you are my family members. And once you are my family member, I can pour out anything, everything.
Hmm. And, you know, the other thing also, many times you have seen, we see that, you know, even though when you are in Prashant Nilayam and you do 10-day seva, 15-day seva, and probably you are not used to that much of hard work in normal life, you can fall sick. But somehow, when you're doing service here, you feel energized, isn't it?
Yeah. So, one Swami told, Swami used to, is a very hard taskmaster. Many must have not seen the other part of Swami. So, when Swami used to be very, not exactly rough, when he'll be a little angry, the student used to ask Swami, "Swami, you always talk of love, love and love. Then why are you getting angry?" He said, "My dear child, this anger is a form of love also, but this is a condensed form of love. When in the rain season, the small pebbles or water bubbles come in the form of ice, you will first have the pinch of pain, then it melts, so my seva is that way." So whenever I used to come, I used to little things, you know, unless it's somewhere, not discipline, I was just little lose my temper. It's only because nobody should blame my mother that the sevadal is of that type. Once she explained me, "My dear son, you must do not mechanical seva. You must do it artificially, not artificially.
From the
seva must be come from the heart, otherwise don't do it." And about this, you told about the energy, I tell you. I used to tell all my brothers, if somebody falls sick, I told you are just a cheater. Either you cheat at your home, or you are cheating in the duty, or you will cheat in the when you go back. Because Swami said once that energy is mine, planning is mine, strength is mine, grace is mine. What was to do? So other thing. So you have to be only simply sincere and do the seva. And unless you feel that he gives you the energy, it won't come. But the moment you feel that, my Swami is there, you just when you lift very heavy things, you just simply say Sai Ram, it becomes just so light and you hold up. And I had one wonderful experience of my life. It was Atirudra Mahajagna, it was 2006. That time our duty was to start on 15th. The Atirudra Mahajagna ended up on 21st. 19th or 21st. So, but we came little early just to have the glimpse of Bhagwan's doing the first hour Atirudra Mahajagna. Then the whole day it was almost 22 hours duty. I just at 10 o'clock in the night, I was coming for the night duty and I was too tired. I was also dragging my feet from my small room outside. And that time I saw one of these devotees of Swami, Murthy. He used to do some puja inside the prayer hall and he rings the bell for Swami, this Nagar Sangha. I mean, when this 12, 5 and 1 bell in the, and Arati also he does. He was holding a small glass of Charanamrita. I had no idea what he was holding. It was 10 o'clock in the night. He said, "Arun, I was searching for the man to who I have to give for the whole day. I telephoned him, I couldn't get him. probability was for you. He just opened my mouth and poured that. And that revitalized me. And again I started doing. And that was a 22-hour job. And
wow.
That's what exactly.
Well, if you're constantly keeping him in mind and doing, he will give that energy.
Yes, he gives the energy.
Wow. And you continue to do seva even in Orissa. I mean, not only coming for Prashanti Seva, because you later on set up a Sai center in Brajrajnagar where you lived for so many years.
So, as I told you, in Brajrajnagar when I was there, we just thought of, after a few years, that we thought of having a small prayer hall so that we can feel safe to pray for Bhagwan. Then we wanted that we should build that house. But we are not very high salarized people. We thought we'll give our physical labor and we worked as laborers and we started working. And after 2 to 3 days, just by the side of our prayer hall, Brajrajnagar, one man came with a liquor shop. We were so much terrified that if a liquor shop is at one place, the other side is Bhagwan's bhajan mandir, it'll people think otherwise. And I asked my father, "Father, what we have to do? Should I take the help of a human?" Because by that time my wife's maternal uncle was the Inspector General of Police in Rourkela. So I thought we'll just talk to him. And father gave me the lesson of my life. He said, "If you take the human help, you may never get the divine help. But if you go for the divine help, human help is not needed." And we got the answer. The whole night we prayed. Bhajans we did. And next morning, the poor shopkeeper's son got met with an accident, and he left. He removed the shop and he left for all. And that I realized that I am only your friend. Don't depend on anybody except me.
Wow. So amazing. But I think that is a very powerful lesson. Depend only on him.
Yes. Because he is, you just depend on him, nothing else.
And when you look back at your life, you know, initially you were very enamored by Bhagwan, you know, so much in awe of what he is. And after that, so much enveloped by his love, by his grace. And then later on, you know, you wanted to serve. But all along, basically, right from the time he came into your life, I mean, he was always there, but you realize it at one point in time physically. He was constantly guiding your spiritual destiny, isn't it? He was constantly ensuring how you can grow on the spiritual path. And that's how, you know, he ensured that, you know, subtly he conveyed those messages to give up non-veg, to give up seeing movies. He was slowly bringing little purifications in your physical body. Then later on in your mind, in your consciousness, in your senses. And slowly he was raising you on your spiritual path, isn't it? When you look back. So how do you see yourself, a person who initially came to Bhagwan, and now when you look at your growth in the spiritual path?
See, normally, when I, as I told you, when I'm doing duty, I was always rough because of indiscipline in something. Then people used to ask that you are so arrogant, so adamant. Many love to work with me, but many also dares not to work. And about discipline part, I can tell you one thing. Once there was a youth conference, youth Parthis Jatra from Bhubaneswar. I mean, from Orissa they came. And they were sitting there, young boys. Then suddenly, first day this, when I saw that after half an hour, half of them has gone for either for tea or toilet or something. So it's almost empty. And Swami came from a distance, he just turned away and went away. I told the boys, nothing doing. Next day, tomorrow, you won't leave your seat till Bhagwan comes and blesses us. So they were sitting. Then suddenly my friend and boss, he asked Arun, "What happened? Nobody is going now today?" I told them not to go for toilet. Stop it. He said, "Useless fellow. If something gone wrong with this, anybody having prostate problem, we'll end up in a problem." I told, "What will happen? There will be some problem. You will be under behind the bars. I'll be outside and release you. But let them learn what is discipline." And it went on. And after 2 years, I just forgot that incident. I went to a remote village in Paradip. Then one boy came and touched my feet, said, "Sairam uncle, did you remember?" I told, "No, Baba, I can't." Mila, you were the man that you stopped our urination program. When that also, it reminds them that it is something there we have to follow. It's not only for Sevadal. I remember one of our ministers, Niranjan Patnaik by name, he was not minister that time, he came for Swami's darshan. First day he was sitting near the veranda, and suddenly after half an hour he went away. And Swami, after that he came. Next day when the minister came, I took him to task. I told, "Sir, you have come leaving all your assets, all your problems to come to see Bhagwan. And you left for your breakfast and everything, and Swami was waiting here in the veranda." Then he said, no, I'll never go again. I never knew him. Neither he knows me. But whenever something goes in discipline, I just talk to them without any fear. Because when Swami said, why fear when I'm here? And that I have experienced in my life, I never dare to do anything when I know I'm doing the right thing. If anybody, whatever the others say, I don't never bother. And interestingly, Swami has supported all the time to me only.
Wow. In fact, you have also written in your book very beautiful, profound insights that you gathered from Bhagwan, which could help one in their spiritual journey. The way Bhagwan says we should cultivate devotion, the way he says we should cultivate renunciation, the way we should have God as priority. Maybe you can share some of those pearls of wisdom which have remained in your mind, which could guide other spiritual seekers.
See, whenever I come to Prasad Nilayam, if I'm alone, Swami will ask, "How is your father?" If father comes, he'll ask, "How is your son?" So this continued. Then I asked Kasturi uncle, "Why Swami is asking me so simple questions? How is your father? Does he know that he's well or whatever? He knows about me, about my father. Why is he asking very simple questions?" Then Kasturi uncle smiled and said, "If you ask you about the spiritual things, Atma, Paramatma, you will say, 'What is these things, boring subject Swami is asking me?' And if you ask you normal things, what will you say? Are he knows everything, why that? Then how will talk to you?" So Swami knew that spiritually I may not be that mature, or I don't have the insight of that things. So Swami has explained to me in very remote, loving form of stories, all his divine gospels, and whatever the many things I want to share with you people. Once it was in Prasad Nilayam, Kulwant Hall was not ready that time. It was almost sand. I was sitting toward the end of this, where this devotee is now coming, the devotee gate. And Swami just coolly, after moving here and there, he came and stood near in front of me. I said, "Swami, you tell me how I'll do japa and dhyanam." He said, "Why? Why you need to do japa and dhyana? To realize God?" I said, "Yes." "Well, I am standing in your front. You realize me." So that is what he said. And slowly told, "Be a good man only. That's all. In life you are a good man. Everything is good." Wow. Then after 2 days he took me into a room and explained me what is, how to do japa, how to do dhyana and all these things.
Just be good. Be good, see good, do good.
Be good, see good, do good.
And make God your priority.
Yeah, that he is the first, I tell you. And I tell you, just normally I was a little good at mathematics. So Swami once explained, "You see, you're all zero, I'm hero." I couldn't understand. He said, "Suppose you start a work without praying me or without remembering me, then that is zero. Then you started working. When you started fail in your mission, then you pray for me, then I am one." So when you started putting zeros, 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 one, the value of one goes on reducing. It is, if 0, 1, it is 1/10 of one. If it is 0, 0, 1, it is 1/100 of one, like that. Yeah. But if the reverse, if you put one, me at the first, and started putting zeros, you see the how value increases. One, after that zero is 10, then 100, and they do move on. So put me first. So that's why he told, I am only your friend, nobody else. Put me first. If you put me, I take everything. And he said, always said, that I want to take both the parts, the love, the darker part and the lighter part. You can't say that half you give me and half you take. Don't be a part-time devotee. Be a full-time devotee, surrender to me, and very simply surrender. Whatever Bhagavan does, it is for the best, and remember that.
Wow. I think that is a very, very powerful message. Most of the time we postpone God, we postpone God's work.
Yes. And about the God's work, he explained once beautifully. He said, you know, any good work with self-interest is zero work. If you do whatever they do yours, then he explained the self-interest component is zero. And when you see from good, you remove one zero or one O, it becomes God.
So you remove that ego.
Ego. That. So when you do any work without self-interest, that is God's work. And you do just for the humanity only, for which I have come. When I am serving you, why can't you serve others also? And about service part also, as I told you, I had a unique experience in 1999, which I mentioned in London also, during one of my speeches. I had always an impression in my mind, as I told you, three things I wanted from Bhagavan. That one is, I must have a gold ring, as I told you. And the second is, sometimes when the students, I was little getting jealous that I couldn't get a chance to read in Swami's school. Of course, he became my best teacher, in spite of my not coming to the school or college. And sometime, as students used to distribute these sweets or dresses, I will get a chance to distribute. And the third one is, on the Vijayadashami date, when he is the Ved Purush, he should talk to me once, only even a word also.
So on those
So there were three wishes of my life. First one he fulfilled about the marriage and the ring. And after my children were brought up, just they were in the school, once myself and my wife came, because this eldest daughter was already in school, so she was already in the group of students. And I just got a chance to sit in one middle of that. So, interestingly, I didn't know, I was just arguing that why should I not go to the front. Because I thought when I come that somebody should give me all liberty to go in front and just, because that is my home or my love, my father, Swami, or my mother. Then I was just, pouring out my anger. Then, now I am interestingly, the man who was, I was just discussing with him, is none other than Sudhir Bhaskar. So now when I came to him, I just know him, I thought he is the man. I was just telling that day, that how, then I was getting angry. Then he was asking me only one question, what next? What next? What next? Then I couldn't get any answer. I kept quiet. Then I sit in one of the middle group. Then as I told you, I had a wish that Swami should talk to me once during this Purna Avatar Dasavat. Father was not that time, I went alone, and I was just in the middle of that Purnachandra hall. Swami used to come, and after this Purnahuti, as Ved Purush, he used to sprinkle that divine blessing water on all of us. So I thought, Swami, I am surrounded so much of so many devotees. Today also there is no chance you will come to me and give that sprinkle water or talk to me. Because there is a pathway straight, he used to come right to the total, he'll walk from the stage to the last point of in Purnachandra Hall. Then while he was coming, suddenly one Savadal came, and by my side he just wanted to create one path, just to pass only one man. I told Swami, will this is the chance? I was just praying to Swami. And Swami slowly with his beautiful walk, you know, when he walks, he was just swimming or dancing like that. Just you feel that he's simply dancing. So he came by my side. I stood in my front. But that time I started only pouring my tears. his robe and everything was touching my lap, he asked, how is your father? How is your son? That's all. I wanted to just listen a word from Bhagavan's mouth on that particular day of as Ved Purush. Then just when he crossed, somebody asked me, why don't you take the Pad Namaskar? I told, there is no need for that. So that is this. And the third wish was very important, that always I should get a chance to distribute these sweets or dresses, what Swami's student used to do. It was in 99, and that was the last time Swami gave us dresses to Orissa Savadal. Previously used to be every year, and that was the last. We were just sitting, Swami has already given prasadam, his bibhuti and all these things, he was standing just in our front, and he just called Chiranjeevi Rao uncle to, he gave some instruction and a bundle of cloths came. Then students started distributing. I told Swami, could it be my chance today? Then suddenly Swami looked back and said, come, start distributing. I just pushed all the students. I don't know Swami what Swami must have thought that time. And I started distributing the sevadal, the dhoti and all dresses. When I started distributing one side, he said, lazy boy, start distributing both the sides. Time is gone. Don't waste time. And that is one more lesson. That whatever when you do, you just do with the stipulated time. That's why I am very particular about when you come to Prashanti Seva, 3:45 means it has to be 3:45. Because I always come at 3:40. I never allow them to come there. So I started distributing full, right, all these 400 sevadal was there. Then it started. After that, we went back. And I thought that lazy boy means he still feel I'm a boy. So I am proud that that innocence, that childishness is still with me. That's why he called me boy. And lazy means naturally I have to improve my discipline part.
Wow. Amazing. And I mean, when you look at it, not only when he was there in the physical form, during the physical form, yes, he fulfilled every wish. But even after that, he continues to bless you. He continues to guide you. Now, is giving you these opportunities to do seva elsewhere, to share about his glory. You went recently to London and Nepal, and you continue to experience his presence.
Yeah. See, I tell you, whenever I used to go to Delhi, when I first went to Delhi, after my engineering passed, wherever I used to move, I get that view of the smell. Whether it is in the bus, whether it is in the train, whether it is a car. So I asked my father, Father, what is this? He said, my dear boy, Swami is always with you, protecting you. So don't worry. And the same feeling I had once in London. I was sitting in a small park with my daughter, and suddenly a gust of vibhuti came, the smell. So wherever I go, wherever I'm there, he is always with me as a protector. And not only me, all the three children, he gave this protected, his symbol of Swami's lockets. The eldest one she gave, the daughter also, and son got. But son was lucky enough, because when he was still very, very young, in Brajrajanagar, he fell sick. He was some gastric problem. It was not, medicine was not responding. We were really panic. And at that time, father was at Prashanti. I thought, okay, Swami, our prayer will definitely reach you, if not my father, but it will reach you. We prayed. And next day, Swami, my father came with a beautiful locket of Ganesh. Mm-hmm. So he is the lucky one to get two lockets, and we tie down. After one day, it was cured. Mm. So it's not only, as you said, not only within the life, after the demise of Bhagavan also, whenever I feel lonely, I just used to talk to him. I'll just pouring on my thoughts, and he has his answer, he will give me. Maybe within one day, maybe instantly, or maybe after a week.
And so that's how you always remain connected.
Yeah, I keep always connected. Yes. I told my children also, we have nothing in this world except the Saima. That's why when I named the book, somebody told me, you give, it is Rasavesa Part 2. I told, no, I don't have that literary knowledge or that intense love for Bhagavan. I just give the resume, ma, something, because he is always a mother to me, nothing else.
And he's not just an ordinary mother. As Swami says, he's the love of 1,000 mothers.
And explain more about the mother. Once he explained, you see, he said, when an ordinary mother, even if the child is fatty and overweight, the mother will say that, oh, my child is so thin. He used to give him food only after, not knowing pretty well that it will harm him. But his sigh as a mother, even if you cry, even if you ask, unless it is not needed, I will never give you.
Only if it is needed, he will give.
Yes. Whenever it is really needed. And I was just reading one book about the emergencies, because this man, in the book of Satya Upanishad or something, Mr. Anil Kumar, he said, Swami, if there is emergency, Swami said, what is emergency? I don't understand what is emergency. But because Swami used to say, when you start writing, this is xeroscopy. The original is always with me.
Yes.
It's just for your own mental satisfaction, you write a letter. But there is no emergency. Before it starts, I'll be there.
There is no emergency for anyone.
Anyone.
Once you've known Bhagwan and once he's there in your life, there is nothing like emergency.
There is nothing like emergency.
And you don't need insurance because he's there.
He's there.
The greatest assurance.
Yes.
I'm there in you, around you, with you, around. And I think that is what you have experienced, and that is the experience of every devotee. Now, some have this opportunity to experience him at close quarters physically.
Right.
But there are any number who have these experiences wherever they are. And that number is only increasing, and you know, that's it only humbles you when you listen to others' experiences.
That's right.
The way he has touched, you think he's almost touched my life, but he has touched so many lives.
Yes. and so the smiling also used to tell the children when they started distributing sweets. Once one boy, after distributing, he came and sat near Bhagwan. I was just standing nearby. He said, Bangaru, why don't you laugh? You have just distributed laddus to so many devotees. If you started loving, smiling, at least if you can get back some 100 smiles. But you are still sitting just in a castor oil face. So you just give a little love to somebody. And I'll tell one very simple example. I tell you, in Prasanthi Seva, I didn't know Mr. G.L. Anand. He was the editor of Sanatana Sarathi. During our seva, he met with an accident. He was coming and we are asking every day one question. How is your leg, sir? How is your leg, sir? We continue for 3 months. The same question. And when he really became all right, we became friends. So it's simple. Swami always says, it's not only love.
Yes.
Little compassion.
Yes.
Just when this Bangalore hospital started, some devotee asked Swami, is it because it is Karnataka you give that shape of K? Because that hospital is a K shape from the top. He said, no, Bangaru, just because it is Karuna, the compassion I give.
Compassion, yes. Both the hospitals have that shape.
Yeah.
Of a hand stretched out.
Yes, that is
welcoming.
Just welcoming.
Welcoming you.
That is compassion.
And so many patients also from Odisha do come to these hospitals.
Yes.
And experience that Karuna. Wow, amazing. Well, it is a Karuna Mahima. That's what you have experienced. Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for coming to the studios. I know there are so many more instances of grace that you have experienced, and I would really request the listeners to read the books written by you and by your father, Raso Vaisa, by Mr. Brahmanand Pandai. It's really a lovely treatise of someone who wants to love God and who wants to serve God. I think, and yours is a continuation of that saga of Divya Prema. Thank you so much for coming to the studios, and really grateful to Bhagwan for arranging this session.
Yes, I am equally blessed, you know.
Thank you.
Sarah.
Sarah.